I want to welcome everyone back to Jay's Real World podcast. We are really fortunate to have a great guest with us today, Jamie Paulson. I have to say that we met through an online platform on TikTok, and on TikTok, you are Jamie the Optimist.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to share a little bit about what struck me about one of your videos and why I reached out to you at that time is because, and you can explain more about the background of it. I just wanted to share that you had a video and it was about, I'm not sure if it was a song that you liked or that you had written, because Jamie is also a musician. He'll talk, he'll tell us more, but it was about being free. To me, that was my interpretation. And you were like on a boardwalk or outside. And that made me feel like that's what I would like to feel, you know, to be free and to have that moment of total just not being self-conscious and not being like that. So I wanted to hear from you more about that. And you can explain better the background of that. But everyone, welcome Jamie. And maybe you can tell us a little bit about yourself just to start off.
Absolutely. Yeah. So my name is Jamie Paulson. I am a musician, content creator, comedian, podcaster, among other things, from Philadelphia. I just graduated from Ursinus College last year with a double major in music and communications. And so now I'm basically just trying to figure out what it is that I want to do in the real world. that's a little bit about myself. But to answer your question about that video, I honestly think that's one of my favorite videos that I've posted on my TikTok account. So the song is, it's called Michikant by Bon Iver. And that song found me at a time when I was still trying to figure out who I was as a person. And it came at a time when I was feeling very invisible to the world. And one thing I love to do is just put on music and dance around like no one's watching, basically. And for whatever reason, I just decided to record myself while I was dancing to that video. And then it just kind of took off.
Yeah. And that was struck. I mean, I'm not sure how the algorithm works in terms of, you know, how I got to that page or, you know, but that's the beauty of a platform like that, that you can, you know, that you can meet people that you would never meet or come across a video that you'd never come across. For me, I was so struck by that I messaged you. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, maybe we could collaborate on a video. I was very new to that. Wasn't really that much into social media that much throughout mm-hmm. the years, except for when I was on Facebook and I needed to reach out about my need for a kidney donor.
Yeah.
And I was just more or less sharing about my story and about my life and stuff like that. But then we decided to make a topic, right?
Yeah.
And I'll let you talk about that. What did we do?
So we talked about kind of like what our dreams are, and like what that means to us. And so we made like respective videos and then reacted to each other's videos. And it was a really cool, just opportunity to get to know one another a little bit better.
Yeah. Now tell us what leads me into what I was going to ask you about your gifts and talents and dreams. What did you talk about? What is your dream?
So my Okay, so my dream, just for like in terms of career and stuff, is to eventually be a touring musician going all over the world performing with my favorite musicians and just spreading love and light and positivity into the world, and just to try to make the world a little bit of a better place.
I love that. I mean, you basically summed up everything that is really important, you know,
Yeah.
in life. And so I think that was a main connecting point. It was such a blur for me, that whole beginning, getting involved on the platform. And I remember becoming very emotional in the video. I thought
Yeah.
I freaked you out. Like, you were like, this, I, you know, I thought that was like, that would have been like, you would have been like, okay, then, you know, that's cool.
No,
But
I loved your videos.
thank you. You know,
Yeah.
and so like for me, I think what struck me about the being free in that your first video, and about the dancing and the music, and then later about your own dream, you talked about I didn't know if that was a made up story or not. You talked about Star Island.
Yeah.
I didn't tell about that because I thought that was a made-up story.
No. So Star Island is this island off the coast of Portsmouth, New Hampshire. It's a conference retreat center, and it's a place that I've been going for basically my whole life. My parents actually met there and got married there. And so it's very special to my family. And growing up, every summer, I would stay there for a week. And then so there's staff members that work there for the entire summer. They're referred to as pelicans. And when I was so after my freshman year of college, I was eligible to start working there, and so I did, and then worked there the next several summers. And last summer, I was the music director out there, and that was really a dream come true for me.
That's amazing. You know, when I was listening to the story, I thought it was like a fantastical tale of like, you know, something that you did, but that was something that you had sort of manifested. I'm using the word manifest, but had you used the
Yeah.
word manifest?
I probably used the word manifest.
It was, to me, very inspiring. And I guess, you know, just in terms of my own journey of wanting to, and I can't remember now everything I said on the in my video, but it was about, for me, just talking in real time now has been about my Jay's Journey of Hope speaking tour, which sort of just happened to begin with the sense of the man, this best-selling author who wrote the foreword to my book. And then I was in the class with this high school kids. And the young guy said to me, "What's next for you, Jay? You know, what's next?" And I felt like it was like a lightning bolt, you know, well, this is my first stop on Jay's Journey of Hope tour. I think your specificity, you know, about, well, it was sort of a tour, right? Because you were talking about a music tour, and then my talking about a speaking tour. And I can't remember, I was very emotional, but I felt a lot of connection between, you know, the conceptually, emotionally, about what that is. And I'm sure everyone has a dream, or everyone has a kind of a calling. Maybe some people don't aren't in touch with that. You're being in touch with it, and knowing what that is such a blessing, you know, and that you
Yeah.
can articulate that, and then you've actually been able to take steps. So for me, Star Island would be like a title of a story that I would write, you know, or something like that, you know. Maybe you'll consider being in my next book of stories.
Sure, yeah, that would be amazing.
So, you know, I asked you kind of before we came on live and in our conversations, and you said you were comfortable doing so, is sort of to explain maybe some of your, you know, background growing up and maybe some of your experiences that sort of led you to pursue certain things or to take certain paths. And you told me a term, a neurodivergent, and it was very, I'd never really heard that, or I never really understood fully what that meant. And I wasn't trying to think of it as a label, but it was a description for a different, I'll let you talk about it, you know, a different, you know, a neurological pathway or learning. And maybe this applies to me or other people, but you had a lot more insight and knowledge about this. And I'm going to, maybe you could talk about that. I didn't want to step on it.
Yeah, sure. Do you want me to talk first about like childhood things?
Yes.
Okay. So, I was raised in this small area of Philadelphia called Mount Airy. It's kind of in the northwest side of Philadelphia. It's a really beautiful area, and I'm very fortunate to have grown up there. But my family was very musical as a kid. They all played instruments and sung, and my family was all friends with a lot of like local musicians, and so I was around music all the time. And for middle school, I went to this school called Project Learn, which was a very hands-on kind of approach to education. And I've always been a very curious person my whole life, and I really think that having that experience of going to that school really helped to fuel my love for curiosity and helped me to become who I am today. But on the topic of neurodivergency, I always felt kind of, as cliche as it sounds, like different from other people. And I never understood why. Like, I always felt like I was never fully a part of anything, that I was always on the outside looking in, like I was a part of the furniture, or like a fly on the wall, or looking in a snow globe, kind of seeing everyone else do their thing, but that I was never really a part of it. And obviously I'm kind of speaking in hyperbole there. I had friends and would hang out with people, but it was pretty rare to do that. And in the summer of 2021, those feelings of not being like everyone else kind of came to a head. And I saw this video that talked about like 10 common traits of autistic people or something. And I completely related to everything that I saw in the video. And that really sparked me to look more into it. And so I did more research and would talk to other people who were on the spectrum and compared life experiences. And it really started to make everything make more sense when I looked at my life through the perspective of having autism. And so neurodivergent is a term that is used to describe people who, and I don't, it's not a, I don't fully agree with the term, because it implies that there's like a normal, that like people, so neurodivergent is a blanket like label for,
like an umbrella.
Yeah, and it's like an umbrella term for like ADHD, ADD, autism, bipolar disorder. I think OCD and other like anxiety disorders all fall under the
That's a lot.
umbrella. Yeah, it's a very broad description, and it basically just means anyone whose brain is works in a different way than what is considered typical, which I really hate the description of typical because it makes it seem like other people are like not typical, and everyone's brains are different. So from as far as I'm concerned, everyone is kind is like neurodivergent because no one's
Right.
brains are the same. But yeah, after I did research about autism, I also realized that I also have ADHD and anxiety. And so over the last couple of years, I've been trying to spread awareness and make content on TikTok about neurodivergent related issues and trying to tell my story and connect with people a little bit better.
I think it's amazing and fantastic that you had the wherewithal to explore that, to be, and to do the research and then to sort of find yourself in a way, in a big way, to be able to then want to not just articulate it to the world, have more inner understanding, but then to help other people and sort of shine a light on that. Because I think a lot, I'm certainly then fall under that neurodivergent. I mean, I guess I in some ways like to experience, people, and even with this podcast, to be able to let you speak. I could have easily done research and Googled, but it wouldn't have been as much of an impact hearing you talk, in real time. Because remember when I think I said about going to that high school and about Jay's journey of hope and about that. And that was, I'm just sharing personally that I think I've never shared all this before, but I couldn't think of a better person to feel comfortable sharing that. I mean, if people are going to listen to this, and little by little, I think writing my memoir back in last year, or self-published in June 2022, and then that best-selling author who I knew doing the foreword. And he titled it Jay's Journey of Hope. And he knew some stuff about me. I had no idea what he was going to write. But I think the reason I was emotional, if you remember, maybe that it was because, do you remember my saying that I felt that he thought he said it was a job well done? Do you remember that? And I was very emotional because the editor saying that. Now, it may have been a little overblown to me in the way I interpreted it. About what he was saying about me, it was a little hard for me to accept the praise or the assessment of me as a person. But then I thought about it, a lot, and I thought when I was on that video when I was responding, or I don't even think that I don't think you were expecting that. I don't know if what you were expecting, but because we were sharing these videos. But to me, in the sphere of neurodivergent, now that you're explaining it, I mean, there are multiple levels of it, but I don't know that he knew everything about my life, but was a smart guy who had had these interactions with me. And the way we met was through a famous baseball player, and we spent some time together, and he had written a book about this my childhood sports hero. And he had written the memoir, like, basically, it's the famous person written with. He writes the book and interviews and does all the writing. And he had done stuff with politicians and famous people and stuff. But I guess in a way that I took it in accepting it was that I somehow deserved to be treated, to be thought of in a positive sense, where I felt many times relating to what you said about looking and feeling different, and you said about a snow globe. So I'm imagining like you're in the snow globe looking outside. That's the way I took it, that or maybe you were you thinking about the snow globe that it's that you shake it up and it's fuzzy, what's going on inside, or were that you were in the globe looking outside?
I was thinking me holding the snow globe, looking at the scene inside, but not being a part of it.
It's interesting, and that seems logical. And I was thinking that I was in the snow globe and I couldn't get out of the snow globe, that I was sort of like, I mean, that's kind of crazy, right? That's neurodivergent right there.
Yeah.
People think differently. And this conversation is going places. Maybe people are going to enjoy the conversation. I don't know, or just get something different than I thought I was even going to. But yeah. That's interesting, right? I thought of myself as like one being sort of trapped in a way inside of a story. And by writing the memoir, it was sort of some way to share. And, you know, I guess I could get in trouble saying too many things. But, you know, my wife saying to me, well, this could be an embarrassment, you know, to share this, you know, and I have a job. I work with people and I didn't see it as embarrassing. Now, this could get back to me, but I didn't see this. I thought as a triumph. You know, and if you read the book, you know, it was about different people that were important to me in my life, looking back on my life as I was end stage renal disease failure and I was on dialysis. And I don't want to go off too much, but, you know, when I was talking to you earlier about Jay's Journey of Hope and about that, you really struggle. You're a person that really strikes a lot with me. And it's hard for me not to like, and I don't want to go off on so much of a tangent because you bring so much, but it may be in this interaction, it kind of illustrates your power that you have to help other people because of the way that you accept. And, you know, I see you as a very accepting person and someone very able to connect with people. And I don't want to go too off, but I would say I always saw myself as the underdog in life. And it was my job to try to help the underdog, you know, to try to, it was natural for me to connect with people. Like in my book, I have a 30 year friendship with a homeless man who chose to be homeless. It was a brilliant, famous homeless man. He turns out to be, and also a man who was a compulsive gambler. Who became like a father figure. And it seemed like I was always most connecting with people that were struggling in some way, but that were brilliant and they were not accepted by society. So for me, I felt that I was just one of them. And I felt I was looking up to those people. I mean, so maybe my snow globe was, the analogy was different for me, but but I just want to say one more thing in terms of making this connection about the neurodivergent. I had an editor for a copy edit who I really connected with, who was a really sensitive guy at the end of doing this. And he said to me, you need to share. You know, I said, well, it was a medication that damaged my kidneys. That's why it led to a 10-year slow and then eventually dramatic process from age 37 to 47 when I eventually had to go on to dialysis. And I said, it was a medication. He said, well, you need to say more about that. Like, this guy wasn't just doing a copy edit. He was actually saying you should share that. And that was so I said it was a mental health medication. And I didn't name the medication, but I said it was a mental health medication. And I talked for the first time in the book about having a nervous breakdown as a teenager. And I didn't have a girlfriend, but it was the name of the chapter is called A Bad Breakup. So that means like you had a breakup with a girl or a guy or whoever. And I never had that, but it was a term. It was a breakup with my mind and with also my father, who was not there for me. So this is not about me and talking about all the stuff, because really we're here to talk to you. But this is an example of Jamie, how he just strikes me, and the way that I feel comfortable. Sharing because of what you're bringing out, you know. About your own experiences, and I don't know, there's something about you that is very special, and I couldn't just say yes, no, or whatever. I had to share that. But when you said about, you know, the umbrella of neurodivergent, you said bipolar. When I was a teenager, after the nervous breakdown, they said, I was diagnosed as bipolar because I had this, you know, up and down, like cycle, you know, like being depressed, but it was more what do you call it? Not societal. It was more brought on by stress. I guess, you know, you could be genetically predisposed to something, but yeah. The intense stress and everything else. And then that name was very, I refused that medication. And I thought it was such a label. It was such a thing. And then people even would think like that's, so I've never spoken really about that.
Yeah.
This is the first time that I've spoken specifically about that. Now I wrote a book. Yeah. So this is very like, I'm giving this to you. This is your, this I'm not giving it to you. What's the word? I'm giving you credit for, I can't think of the word. Help me with the words.
I'm honored to be the first person that you're really talking about this with.
Thank you. And so when I was in that classroom with that that young guy said to me, what's next for you in your life? What's next? You know, what are you going to do now? Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, about he wanted to hold. I wasn't there about the book. I was there as an ambassador for the Gift of Life, sharing about organ donation. But that it was a pre-medical. It was a vocational high school, amazing school where they were preparing the students for medical careers. Really excellent for those students.
Yeah.
And they said, we want to know it all. And that was the first time that it ever really shared with these very compassionate teenagers that I'd shared everything, you know, pretty much everything about the journey. So I guess telling you about it, I didn't say the word bipolar to them. I just told them, you know, about the nervous breakdown, and they were very open to hearing everything. They've invited me back now to come back in May to speak to another class there. And I spent the past 20 something years booking speakers to speak in schools. Not me. Mm-hmm. I was behind the scenes booking people with different disabilities, but never shared my story. And so this is the first time. And so it's been a very hard with getting a transplant, going into pandemic. I know this podcast is not, I think I hijacked this part of it. So I apologize.
No, it's totally fine.
But, you know, that's Jamie to me, you know, and we've never met. It was just, you know, through the program. And then if you could share like what your reaction was, you wouldn't necessarily have been looking for me, but then when I shared with you that I was sort of absent from the platform, I don't really want to get into that too much, but that you compassionate, you know, about like, you know, about you should still go, you know, try, you know, to keep going with it.
Yeah.
So that's a little side story, but tell a little more about what you are going to do. Like what's your next, what are the things that I know we talked about Star Island and all these things that you've done, but tell more about what your dreams are to do. What are the next steps for you? Like what are, you know?
Yeah. So, I have several like creative, projects that I'm working on. And part of the like ADHD neurodivergent brain is that I always have like a million ideas going on at once and struggle to really focus on one thing for any period of time. And so I like to have a lot of things that I can kind of go back and forth with. But at the moment, I recently started a new series on my YouTube channel called The Jamie Show. And I put episode one out about a month ago. It's kind of like a video essay / reality show kind of about my life. And each episode focuses on a different topic that relates to multiple aspects of my life. And so the first episode is all about chasing curiosity and how my life has been almost like how curiosity has been a main focal point of my whole life. And I used a bunch of footage that I've like filmed throughout the years to show how curiosity has led me to where I am. And so I'm gonna keep making episodes for that. I have my own podcast called the Hey How You Doing podcast, which is a comedy podcast where I basically interview myself where I over the summer I created this character named Sunset Jerry, who's like your standard New York Italian American. And he grew up like where he was told that he had to be very macho, but he's a very sensitive guy and is enthralled with sunsets and also a lot of very specific topics. And so the two of us talk back and forth about different things. And so that's a lot of fun. And I'm also working on several albums at the moment, some of which are probably going to be released over the summer. And so I'm very much looking forward to putting those out into the world.
That's awesome. What kind of music do you play?
So I play all kinds for instruments. I play piano, drums, guitar, ukulele, harmonica, and I also make beats on GarageBand and Ableton.
Wow.
But for genres, I hip hop and rap is my primary genre, but I also do folk, EDM, jazz, and a little bit of punk or folk punk music.
That's, are you like a solo kind of act, or do you have a group that you go around with?
I had a band in college. We didn't really perform that much. We just kind of played music every now and then. But my own music is completely self-made.
Amazing. And as far as the YouTube channel, which is very interesting, fascinating about playing the two different characters, what is the YouTube channel? How can people find that?
So my YouTube channel is just my name, Jamie Paulson. But the podcast can be found anywhere that you get your podcasts. So it's on Spotify, SoundCloud, and all the other podcast streaming services.
It's amazing to have the creative outlets and to be doing all that. And you said when you were at Ursinus, I know that school. Where is the school? Where is the college?
It's in Collegeville, which is in Montgomery County in Pennsylvania.
In Pennsylvania, yeah. And you said you majored in communications, mass communications.
I was a double major in music and communications.
And so when you were doing the music, particularly in the in instrumental and also voice, I mean, how what was that? What was that in school? What were you doing? What were you, how did that manifest?
So the music department was very small, so we didn't have like specializations. It was just a broad music major. You couldn't specialize in anything. But I was the drummer for the jazz ensemble for all 4 years of college, which was a lot of fun.
That is cool. So you have you're a trained musician, and you have all these different, facets of outlets and stuff. So, you hear about people that are just, they just start doing stuff. You have a training and all this stuff that you've done. I think it's fascinating. So you have the YouTube channel, and then you have the you have a podcast. I'm gonna list all that in the show notes. We have and then I'm gonna have all that listed. And also then you're on different social media platforms, and I can link all that too for people to find you. But I
Awesome. Thank
think,
you.
yeah, but I wanted to kind of invite you or talk about maybe even openly here that maybe you could we could have a regular kind of check-in, a regular kind of Jamie the I say Jamie the Optimist. Really, Jamie the Optimist is really your TikTok thing, right? Or is that like, are you on other social media platforms?
So Jamie the Optimist is the name that I use for my music, which is why I use it as my TikTok handle. And so yeah, you can find me on TikTok at Jamie the Optimist and Instagram, it's Jamie the Optimist Official. And I'm not really on many other social media sites. Those are the main ones.
So, we could just maybe we've been so talking just out there. We have a little bit of a little bit of time left. It was kind of cool to make sort of a sort of endpoint for the podcast so that we could be focused, you know, no pun intended, you know, because I have that ADHD thing too.
But
I'd like to be, you know, maybe we can connect creatively as well, you know, on a project that we could then have like a, you know, a carry through, you know, on something that connects with what you do and I do. And I'd like to be able for you to come on. I mean, even, I don't know how, you know, we could do like a once a month, you know, or however we can do it, you know, that we have a certain specific topic or something that's going on, or maybe it's something that we talk offline about doing and then we can kind of share that with people.
That would be amazing.
I think that would be great. You're a very unique person and someone that I really believe, I don't know how, I think there is a master plan, you know, and do you believe in that? I believe there's a sort of a, no accidents in the world. I mean, we sort of.
Yeah. Yeah. So. I believe in the master plan.